This is the Ethanol Report. I'm speaking once again with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, and today we're going to talk about rail transportation for ethanol. Recently, we discussed the situation where rail shipments of ethanol and grain were being delayed, but while that has improved somewhat, another rail issue that could have more longer-term impacts is now getting public and political attention. Bob, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, to a certain extent, the service issues that we were dealing with are beginning to resolve themselves. The marketplace will work, albeit sometimes more slowly than we would like. But really, the rail issues have continued to percolate over the flip side of that coin, and that really is rail safety. And because we ship our product currently on the same rail cars that oil ships their product, the DOT 111 rail car, the oil companies have continued to have some issues with respect to safety. We're being drawn into that debate as to what to do with the 111 rail car, and can it be made safer, and how can they safely move liquid transportation fuels, crude oil and ethanol, more effectively. There was another spill and a fire of crude oil in Lynchburg, Virginia, just a week or so ago. Another accident a couple of days ago in Colorado, again with crude oil. We are shipping so much crude oil on the rails today. It is most certainly having an impact on service. It's hard to move anything other than crude oil on the rails today, it would seem, including grain and ethanol and coal. Unless you're transporting crude oil, it seems you get sent to the back of the line. But the more critical issue is safety. I have had meetings recently with the Department of Transportation. They are committed, most assuredly, to addressing the safety issues. And there is a proposed regulation at OMB right now. It has not been released, so nobody knows exactly what it is or what it includes. But from my discussions with the Department of Transportation, I'm certain that it addresses prevention, keeping the rail cars on the track. So there will be an element of operations that will be involved, which I think is a really good thing that needs to be. They will also include, though, enhancements to the rail cars, the 111 cars, but they're still up in the air as to exactly what changes would be appropriate to make, because even in that accident that occurred in Lynchburg a week ago, one of the cars that spilled was a 1232 car, the newer car, with enhanced safety characteristics. So we're sort of looking at a moving target here. We hope that the administration will recognize the very real differences between shipping ethanol and shipping crude oil, and make sure that the more critical safety enhancements are applied to those cars shipping oil. And while there are certainly some things that we might be able to agree to for our own shipping, they won't be as severe as what oil will be looking at.
Well, now, you testified before the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, just last month about this issue, and talked about really the safety record for ethanol shipments. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, what I wanted to get across was ethanol is not oil, right? The characteristics of ethanol are significantly different. Ethanol is not as volatile. Its flash point is not as high. It is a far more consistent product. It is a product that goes directly to the consumer. Oil, particularly the highly volatile crude oil being shipped from the Balkans, is not at all consistent. We don't even really know what all is in that product. How much natural gasoline that should be stripped out is actually being shipped in those rail cars, what its volatility is, what its flash point is, but from the explosions that have occurred with the recent crude oil derailments, it's pretty clear that that is a much more dangerous commodity than is ethanol and deserves to have a separate and distinct regulatory regime associated with it. The other thing I wanted to point out to the NTSB was we're not oil companies. We take ethanol transportation and safety extraordinarily seriously. When ethanol first began to be shipped around the country in large volumes, we created the Ethanol Emergency Response Coalition. We, the RFA, did testing to determine which foams would be necessary to address an ethanol spill, and we have worked with first responders, creating training materials, doing webinars, holding seminars all across the country. We have stepped up our education efforts for first responders in a way that the oil industry has not yet done. And I think they will probably have to be forced to do so. And that's a sad commentary, I admit, but it is also the fact.
Well, and how much of they seem to be focusing really on that particular rail car, the 111, but that's not really the cause of these accidents and derailments in most cases, is it?
No, that's absolutely the point. You keep the rail car on the tracks, and there is no safety issue. But this country has not done what it should do in terms of infrastructure, maintaining the integrity of rail tracks. And I would maintain we have not done enough to make sure that operations are a part of this discussion as well. The most tragic accident that we've seen in recent memory was, of course, the Canadian Lake Megantic explosion with crude oil coming from the Bakken, in which, tragically, 47 people lost their lives. Well, that occurred because three operators of the train left the unit train unattended. They had not properly set the brakes. And so while they were off getting perhaps a much-needed rest, nobody was on the train, and it lost traction, began to roll down the tracks, down a mountain, reached a speed in excess of 60 miles an hour, and hit a curve in the tracks in a populated area. You can't design a rail car to not leak product in that kind of a situation. And you know, the resulting explosion and tragedy you know, could have all been prevented had the rail operator assured that somebody was always on that train and in control of that machinery, or they had properly set the brakes. But, you know, human error is going to occur, and they've got to make sure that they do everything possible to prevent derailments from happening in the first place.
Well, it seems like the 111 car is being made somewhat of a scapegoat when it comes to these accidents.
Well, it seems like they're learning the wrong lesson. I would never suggest that there aren't things that we can do to make the rail car safer. I think that there probably are, and the industry has agreed voluntarily to make some of those changes. But the lesson from Lake Megantic ought not be we need to design a better rail car. The lesson ought to be we have got to make sure that rail operations are appropriate for the situation and that we are properly training people and we're not leaving trains unattended and that there are brake systems in place to prevent a train from rolling at 60 miles an hour down a mountainside. It does seem like some policymakers are learning the wrong lessons.
And that's the Ethanol Report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.